Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. I'm going to jump into dipper number two, and I'm just calling it workforce. A lot of folks don't realize that economic development is as much about people as it is about places and opportunities and businesses. In fact, if you don't have people, if you don't have a workforce, you don't have much economic development. You've got to have the ability to bring in not just the drivers, the engines, like, I don't know, let's pick one, like a manufacturing plant comes in. You've also then got to have the ability to build yourself as a state that can field a workforce to then man that plant. Otherwise, why would they come? That being said, workforce is not just a huge deal. It's also one of the driving forces of economy. And then on top of that, we have some statistics you have to look at. You always hear about the unemployment rate. Alabama's got a great unemployment rate. We're in the twos. We're down there at record low unemployment rate, which is good, except that the unemployment rate is not always the true indicator. Because the other one at which Alabama is kind of struggling right now is called the labor force participation rate. That's the number of people who are still actively in the job force, in the workforce, if you will, either looking for a job or have just left a job and they're still actively engaging the process of getting another job. People who are in the labor force pool, it's great. You don't want the labor force participation rate to be a number that indicates you don't have many workers. Well, Alabama has got a pretty tepid labor force participation rate, which is, by the way, when that's, you know, off, it indicates to other people that want to bring their businesses to a state that maybe you don't have enough people to man the shifts. That being said, somebody who I am proud to have in studio with us right now is my brethren from prior days in the Alabama State Senate. We actually got elected together in 2010. We sat next to each other on the Senate floor for a number of years. I know all the secrets about his life, and I'll tell them to you later when he leaves the studio. But I am really glad to have right now in studio with me former State Senator Clay Schofield, who is now the Executive Vice President for the Business Council of Alabama. Clay Schofield, how are you doing, brother?
I'm great, Philly Bob. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I knew you were going to say Philly Bob right off the front.
Philly Bob loves Charlene.
He does. Philly Bob does love Charlene. Man, it's good to see you, and thanks for making time to come on down in.
And anytime. Always great to see you.
And it's better to do it in studio because, you know, that way I can't just laugh about you. I gotta look you right in the eye.
Exactly. Look into my eye.
You and I fought some battles together.
Lots of them.
I remember back in the day when we got elected, man, everybody was always at odds with the teachers union. I mean, we went through all kinds of stuff. You and I would get, you know, the trash talk and the evil emails and the people calling our houses at weird hours of the night and the protests. And then we had the illegal immigration bill, and we had people rowdy in the state house itself. And then, you know, but we also saw some amazing things. Mm-hmm. And I really think that you and I got to be there for what I would call the turning of Alabama's economic engine. And back when you and I first got elected, and it was a different leadership at the BCA, Business Council of Alabama. It was Billy Canary at the time. But I really feel like BCA became a driving force back then for helping flip the state from Democrat control to Republican control. And then helping push for economic legislation that really put us on the map, I think. All right, I'm opining right now. May I start my first hour? So I am apparently filibustering my guest. But you're at BCA now. How you like it?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, I miss, you can relate, miss being in the game a little bit.
Well, you're, by the way, he was Senate Majority Leader. So he was like one of the grand poobahs down there for a while.
Something like that. That was Jabbo. But no, I'm loving it. You know, I mean, like you said, I mean, BCA, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to take the job is because I believe in what BCA's mission is. And, you know, your point, they were right there with us locked arm in arms on turning Alabama around. And you know, I think I think our class was able to really see and understand and appreciate the role that they played and the role that the business community played in reshaping the political landscape in Alabama, the financial landscape of Alabama. I mean, the things that we implemented between, you know, 2010 and 2018, I mean, you're able to see it right now with these budgets. That didn't just happen. I mean, yeah, the economy's a lot better, but the Rolling Reserve Acts that we put into place, goodness, I mean, it's really cool to be able to see those reforms once fully implemented and you know, but they're working. Just as we promised they would, they are working.
So for those who don't know, Alabama, we do have a constitutional requirement to balance our budgets, mm-hmm. which only means you have to balance it on paper. And before Clay and I and the rest of the Republicans flipped the state house in 2010, the Democrats who had led the state legislature for 136 straight years, they were notorious for going into what's called proration, which meant that they had offered up a budget that they then couldn't sustain. It meant that there were not enough revenues to meet the things they wanted to spend money on. And so halfway through the year, the governor would have to declare proration and do slashing cuts. And I used to always say during campaign season, if your budget gets prorated, it was never really balanced to begin with.
That's right.
And nobody has seen a prorated budget since 2010.
And won't.
And the other piece is, you mentioned the rolling reserve. So we were able to see things put in place, like we actually have reserve accounts. We started with the education budget, and they moved into, just in the last few years, they also got in a reserve for the general fund. Mm-hmm. Clyde Chambliss had that one.
He did.
Yeah. But all said and done, yes, we changed the fiscal makeup of how things work. We changed the economic makeup. So BCA, for the benefit, we got about 3 or 4 minutes for the next break. I want to make sure the audience understands who BCA is. So why don't you go ahead and talk about what that is, first of all, because people hear about these alliances and associations, and some are good and some are bad. Mm-hmm. Tell us about BCA, and then we'll go on.
So BCA obviously stands for the Business Council of Alabama, and it's just that. It's an association of businesses located throughout the state that advocates for Alabama to be more pro-business. We try to kill or limit legislation that is bad for business, i.e. bad for jobs, bad for the people of Alabama, bad for the future of Alabama. And we try to pass legislation that is positive for business, positive for job growth, positive for the economic outlook of Alabama. And, you know, one of the things that really surprised me, and I tell everybody, you know, get a lot of questions, what surprised you the most? You know, I kind of thought BCA was probably like big businesses, all that. 83% of our members are small business.
Oh, no kidding, yeah.
83% small business. So it's not just the
regions. It's not all Alabama Power.
Correct. It's businesses right here in Gadsden, Alabama, or my hometown, you know, in Marshall County. I mean, it's a varied structure of businesses, all different size. And I think that's really cool about BCA that I was very pleasantly surprised about. But that's at the core, is advocacy of BCA. We also, the other very important part is Progress PAC. Progress PAC is a political action committee that we raise money from those businesses that want to elect or defend pro-business candidates. You and I were both beneficiaries of Progress PAC, like you said, particularly in 2010. So that's kind of how we sow the seeds of having a pro-business legislature, is affect those elections, which we're currently doing right now. And then in 26, with the legislature and most of the constitutional offices will be on the ballot then. So advocacy and elections, those are our two main, and obviously information, keeping our members informed on what's out there. If we see something, a bill that's going to negatively impact the business community or jobs or the economy, you know, we send out a call to action for those business owners and employees to call their members and hopefully either kill or pass a bill that that will be for the benefit of the state of Alabama.
Well, and I think a lot of folks lose sight of that piece because what happens is a small business. In fact, I got one right now, a situation where most people don't realize that a brand spanking new mandatory reporting requirement from the Treasury Department in D.C. that all small businesses have to LLCs have to file these reports. It's the most unreal thing. It's burdensome. And people aren't realizing they're going to stick you with some big penalties if you don't submit that documentation. Your organization is there to do things like provide the information that businesses might not otherwise get on their own because they're a member of your association. They'll get the information they need to make sure they're staying in compliance, to meet all the standards necessary, mm-hmm. know when the changes in the laws take effect and how to deal with them. And anyway, all that.
Yeah, and we're also the state affiliate for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the National Association of Manufacturers. So while we don't do any federal lobbying, they do, you know, all the federal stuff. And then, you know, that's a tremendous amount of resources in D.C. that we can use if any of our members have questions.
And I'll say, too, I mean, so this is like an ultra conservative radio show, right? And I'm not always real fond of the National Chamber of Commerce, me personally. But that being said, like for instance, Katie Britt, she was at BCA as an executive before she ran for the U.S. Senate, and I have yet to ever be disappointed in her votes. And so, so I've been pretty pleased in that regard. And I think that was one of the things that was talked about when she was running. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. is she going to be what we call a Chamber of Commerce Republican? No, she was an Alabama Republican. Yeah. Although I'll be honest with you. Me and you sitting here talking, I don't recognize some of the Alabama Republicans right now either, but all that to say, I won't make you comment on that right now.
Thank you.
But we are going to take a break right now. I'm with my brethren, former state senator Clay Schofield, who is now executive VP of the Business Council of Alabama. We're going to come back and talk about unions and about how to grow a workforce in Alabama without unionizing them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I am back in studio right now with my brethren from the days of the legislature, former state senator Clay Schofield, who is now the executive VP at the Business Council of Alabama. Just moved on up there in the world, got himself a big office, a beautiful window, looks out over Montgomery. It's just awesome, man.
I see the Crampton Bowl.
You can see the Crampton Bowl from your hooch.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome. Hey, during the break, by the way, you and I are going to talk about unions and all kinds of stuff here in a moment. But during the break, you said something that I thought was rather profound for a guy who spent all those years, you know, doing legislative work. You still got some brain cells of functioning, brother. And you were spot on, though. You said something about the fact that leadership too often can get spun up into thinking they're going to solve all the crises, and we got to watch the issues of public policy.
Yeah, you know, leaders in general, you know, shouldn't sacrifice good public policy for a win. And I think sometimes you see that in D.C., you see that all over the place. And
yeah.
I think it's important to maintain that focus and always keep good policy at the forefront. What's the best policy for the people that you serve? And I do see, you know, have seen that become an issue sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, you guys out there listening to the show, you always hear about the Alabama Policy Institute. We talk about organizations like Texas Public Policy Foundation and others like that. And exactly what he's saying is the policy should drive the legislation. And then the policy, if it's rooted in principle, will drive things to a place where you want it to be. And then you're going to find you're going to have these associations. I was surprised. Like, I remember going down to Montgomery, brother. The first time we had our very first caucus meeting was at the Forestry Association, mm-hmm. which Was, by the way, if you've ever been to the Forestry Association's building, it's like you just want to sit down by the fireplace and just you know, have a cup of coffee and put your feet up. But it's just everything's like leather, and you can smell the wood in the fireplace, and it's just all cool. And but we had our very first caucus meeting down there, and I remember thinking, why are we at the Forestry Association? Don't they care about trees? No, they're an association that cares about the state, and they look for good public policy. And mm-hmm. and BCA being one, Alpha, the farmers being one, and it's pretty amazing when you get down there. Some of the associations I don't care about at all. Teachers Union, evil organization in my opinion. But then you find some like realtors, and they go down there and they fight for good public policy on real estate stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah,
my
yeah.
thoughts.
We called the forestry building the Pine Palace.
The Pine Palace.
Great place.
It was. First time we sat down, by the way, anecdote here. So Jabbo Wagner, who's been in the legislature longer than Clay and I have been alive, Jabbo Wagner almost got emotional the first time we had our very first caucus meeting, because he sat there and there was one other guy who's no longer there, Jimmy Holly. And he looked down the long table and he said, "Jimmy, we've never had a caucus meeting where we had to bring in more chairs to the room." And and Jimmy says, "Jabbo, I do believe there's times we used to have the caucus meeting in the back seat of the car on the way to lunch."
That's right. They did. 23 of us.
Yeah. Well, listen, so, brother, we're going to start picking apart the situation we got with workforce. And I want to dive into especially Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who hails from your neck of the woods in Gunnersville. Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth chaired a workforce development committee, a commission actually, that was challenged with finding a way to brew this. I know you guys are big supporters of it, and he came up with a plan, basically. And if I'm not mistaken, BCA is big on this plan. Am I right?
You bet, big time. And to your point, you know, speaking of the workforce, you're spot on. Alabama has great incentives that have been very successful. You know that firsthand. You worked on it.
Yeah.
Have been very successful at bringing new businesses to Alabama and helping existing companies expand, creating more jobs. We are investing more in infrastructure and broadband and our roads and bridges, our ports. But all that is for naught if you can't provide a well-trained workforce. Companies aren't going to come if they don't have a workforce. And so workforce development is extremely important to BCA and the business community. And so this plan is at the forefront of our efforts, and we can talk about it after the break.
You hear the music playing, I mean, the preacher got to quit talking, but you're right. All right, we'll be right back with Clay Schofield from BCA and talking about how Alabama is going to build the workforce of the future. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Man, we go like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. All right, I am back with former State Senator Clay Schofield, former Majority Leader State Senator Clay Schofield, now the Executive VP at the Business Council of Alabama. Hey, Clay.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, there's a thing called workforce development, man.
Indeed.
And I am I'm of the mind that we need more people in the workforce. I know you guys at BCA are. All right, so let me ask you, give us what you know about this plan that Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth's commission came out with most recently, and let's talk through some pieces of it because I got questions.
All right. So it is our priority. It is targeted to improve workforce development in the state of Alabama and begin to improve that workforce participation rate that you mentioned. Alabama is 5 points below the national average.
On labor force.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's considerable. And that's a lot of folks that could be working that for various reasons aren't. And no, not all of that is their choice. Some of that is because of their situation, maybe a lack of education, lack of childcare is a barrier for especially single moms. And so we are proposing, that the lieutenant governor's commission is proposing, and that BCA is backing up and advocating for a way to make those improvements.
All right, so let's break some of that down. One of the things that I saw that I thought was interesting. Now we already have, the Department of Commerce, the state of Alabama. Most recently, Greg Canfield, who you and I served with, has retired from that position, and we got a new, a cabinet leader there, Department of Commerce. But we're talking about actually forming a new thing called the Alabama Workforce Authority. And I'm looking at this right now. I've got an article that I pulled here off of Alabama Daily News. Todd Stacey's website says we're talking about the possibility of combining Department of Commerce, Alabama's Industrial Development Training Organization, and the Department of Labor, and making a new Alabama Workforce Authority with a secretary or a cabinet level position. Am I right in saying that?
Sort of.
Okay, what you got?
Sort of. Obviously, BCA is not in favor of increasing the size and scope of government.
I'm so glad you anticipated my question.
We like to say that business pays the bills. I.e. taxes to fund the government. So we don't really look for government to expand. So you'll see probably a not quite expanded government repurposing existing or adding to existing. What needs to happen? There needs to be someone that wakes up every day thinking about workforce development in the state of Alabama. Someone needs, right now there are so many different silos that are delivering workforce development that are handling either state dollars or federal dollars. And I just believe that having one entity that is laser focused on making sure that resources are being spent wisely, if those investments are working, making sure we don't have duplication or, potential quadruplication, but making sure that again, resources are spent wisely, they're getting where they need to get, and that we are producing a well-trained workforce.
Do you see a new Secretary of Workforce Development or something like that? Are we going to maintain our current positions in the cabinet, or are we going to add to the cabinet at all?
I think you're probably going to see it sort of combined, I think you'll see, but someone will be in charge of workforce.
Okay, all right. So a point person, somebody who, I like the way you said it, somebody who wakes up in the morning with committed to the idea of growing the workforce. All right, that being said, the workforce, and what Ainsworth's plan that I pulled off of Alabama Daily News, what this particular article says is that there's also barriers that have to be addressed. And you look at it and you go, all right, why aren't y'all going back to work? Where did everybody go? I mean, Alabama's gotten a long history of having hardworking, industrious people.
Yep.
For us to have a messed up labor force participation rate like we have right now, 5 points off the national average in the wrong direction, you got to look at it and go, did we just have a bunch of people die? I know that during COVID, a lot of people dropped their papers and said, I'm out of here, I'm retiring. Mm-hmm. We had an abundance of retirees. We did have some people who left the state for opportunities elsewhere. And then we've also had people, and unfortunately, who were paid by government to stay home and not work and got used to it and never really entered the pool again. That being said, you mentioned like childcare, transportation, housing. I mean, we're not talking about forming new entitlement programs, right?
No.
What are we talking about doing to help address the barriers?
We're proposing that we incentivize business and private enterprise to solve that problem.
Okay.
For instance, tax credits. If businesses offer on-site childcare, or if they provide some sort of stipend or, pay subsidy or whatever to help pay for childcare.
Okay.
I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer.
It's all about tax relief. So what you're talking about?
Tax credits.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be tax credits. The relief would be to the worker if they have you know, children that need child care.
But the credit is an incentive to the business.
Correct. All correct. Right. So we're incentivizing businesses to solve the problem instead of government solving the problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes good sense. Is there, and I don't know the answer to this question, is there any opportunity there? Let's say somebody doesn't have an employer who can afford that. Like for instance, my law firm, we have 8 employees, mm-hmm. right? So we can't afford child care, but there's child care here in town. Can an individual look for a tax credit if there's something that's sure. out there in the community?
Well, so you as a business, what we'd rather happen is you as a business, we'd offer you tax credits if you offered your employees
to pay for it,
a stipend.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Transportation, housing, what are we talking about there? How are you going to address those issues?
We're also talking about tax credits for new housing. For instance, it's a Reagan-era program. Right now there's it's done through the Alabama Housing Finance Authority.
Yeah.
I think weren't you on the oversight?
No.
No, it's me and Sanford.
Yeah.
Me and Sanford. So there's essentially, developers who build housing. Now to live in these houses, you have to work. You have to have a job. Mention that up front. That is very important.
Okay.
All right. There's two levels of two tiers of assistance that the federal government will allow or incentivize developers to build multifamily housing.
Right.
So lower cost housing. One level, Alabama companies go that route or that amount because then it cash flows. There's another amount that they can get that they don't take advantage of it because it doesn't cash flow. I think it's 38 other states are doing what Alabama is proposing to do now is that we make up that shortfall. In other words, so that our businesses can or developers will take advantage of all the federal funds.
All right, so let me ask you this, and I don't know the answer. I'm just spitballing with you right now. So, like in the Army gives what's called a BAH, a basic allowance for housing, because they recognize that sergeant first class or a young lieutenant moves to like I've got family members that live in Detroit. Well, it's a different cost of living up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Army looks at it and says, based upon your wage right now, we're going to plus you up this amount for that city. Is that what we're talking about? We're talking like a BAH will incentivize an employer to give an extra stipend? Or what are you saying?
No, and this one's – I'm butchering this one because this one's a lot more complicated.
Okay.
And you know I'm not that smart.
Just the opposite.
Explainer.
I used to say that you were the fastest thinking slow talker I ever met in my life.
Well, thank you. That's a fact, but not the fast thinking. But anyway, it allows us to maximize all those the entirety of that federal program, of which we're okay. only maximizing half of it,
okay.
or utilizing half of it. It will also help, help the construction sector, which
okay.
right now you probably need to do because of the slowdown with the interest rates and all that. The last thing you need to happen is a construction sector going down. That's not the reason for
it. It's a thing.
It is a thing.
All right, so let me ask this question. Transportation. All right, so first of all, we're looking at removing barriers for people to get back in the job sector. Look, maybe we'll incentivize your employer to help you with childcare. Maybe we'll incentivize the economic growth of low-cost housing so that you can have a place to work near the factory that's opening up or whatever else. Or for that matter, you've got a place now to live that you can afford, so now you can go get that job and not have to travel to the other job in another state for a while. All right, that being said, what are you going to do about transportation? Do you have an idea of what they're talking about there?
We don't have anything right now for transportation.
We just see it as a barrier?
In that field. It's absolutely a barrier. I mean, the big thing is healthcare, transportation, child care, those three things are some of the biggest barriers. But we don't have anything for transportation here. But, hey, we're open to any ideas.
All right. So the last thing I got for you, though, is I remember when I was in the legislature, I was really proud of several. I got an award from the BCA downstairs on my shelf. I was able to be the sponsor of the dual enrollment bill,
mm-hmm.
which put the ability for kids who were in high school – to be dually enrolled in high school and a trade certification at a two-year college, and they can graduate college and be a certified welder and go to work day one. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks don't realize the trades are hurting for people right now. But it's not just the trades. I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, you want somebody who knows how to run the new high-tech auto industry's manufacturing lines, or know what to do with just-in-time logistics for, you know, getting parts to the Mercedes plant on time or whatever. There's something in this plan, which Ainsworth says is a major pillar, called the Alabama Workforce Pathways Diploma. Tell me what you know about that, because I'm intrigued to see where this is going to go.
That one I'm not too sure the details of. What we do see, though, is really what we want, what's important, is it doesn't take a four-year degree to be successful in life.
Yeah.
It can be a two-year degree. It can be a certificate. It could be just being trained.
Yeah.
That's what sort of they're talking about there, that it wouldn't necessarily be a 4 or 2 year degree. It would be, if you're certified, if you have become trained to be a certified welder, certified plumber, certified electrician, there needs to be some sort of diploma there that has the same standing of a 2-year or 4-year degree. Right. Success to me is being able to get up, go to work every day, honestly and honorably, and being able to provide for your family.
Yeah, I agree with that. And listen, we're going to hit a break right now, but I got to say, as I scan down in this article a little further, I see, too, that it actually is calling for a potential public-private partnership on providing grants to get folks through the 2-year process of getting a certification. I can see that being huge. There was a great program up in Athens State, and a local company were providing a public-private partnership for kids to get a 2-year certification, and it was so cool. Mm-hmm. And we got to find the details of that, because I think it's a model. All right, listen, all of this I love. We're going to take a break right now and come back and spend the remaining part of our hour together talking about unions trying to destroy exactly what we're trying to build.
Correct.
Okay. Phil Williams, sitting here with Clay Schofield, Business Council of Alabama, former legislator, a recovering politician. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. And I tell you who else has got some superpower common sense is my brother from another mother, born at separate times together. We used to say it all the time, by the way. I'm sounding like a yokel right now, but that was like our joke on the Senate floor. All right, listen, bro, we got about 5 or 6 minutes left. We got to talk about unions, because you guys care about workforce development. You care about good public policy, but you also care about the maintenance of the businesses that we currently have. And one of the things that we're seeing right now is a spike in effort, but especially, I'll be honest with you, the Biden administration is so pro-union that unions are feeling empowered right now. So we got some stuff going on in Alabama.
We do. So everyone saw the wins that the unions had in Michigan. We're talking about UAW.
Yeah.
Coming off that, they are making a major play at auto manufacturing plants in the South. Alabama is the third largest auto producing state in the country.
Yeah.
Now we have 4 major OEMs, Mazda, Toyota, Honda in this area, Mercedes and Hyundai.
Yeah.
They announced that they had 30% union card signed at Mercedes. A couple weeks later, they announced it at Hyundai. BCA was asked if we would run sort of the messaging to counter that. And of course, we jumped at the opportunity that is within our wheelhouse. We want to make sure that the people of Alabama fully understand what unionization at our auto plants could bring about and what it would mean. We don't want Alabama to turn into Detroit.
No.
And
Lord,
so
no.
And we all know what that means. What's interesting, you'll appreciate this.
Yeah, we're a right-to-work state.
We're a right-to-work state, but they, you know, we can't ban unions from coming in here or plants unionizing. So we developed alabamastrong.com. Our president and CEO, Helena Duncan, in an op-ed announced that. What's interesting, of which you will appreciate, is once we went live on that, we received a good bit of calls to the office saying, thank you, we appreciate it. A lot of them came from Gadsden, Alabama.
Ha-ha!
A lot of them, because they saw what happened.
Yeah, we lost a major steel plant and a major tire manufacturing plant, and Gadsden's economy cratered.
Correct. And I thought that was very interesting that the people of Gadsden saw that and made the effort to call us and thank us for Alabama Strong. So I would encourage all your listeners to visit alabamastrong.com and read the truth about what UAW, what the unionization of our plants would lead to.
If I'm not mistaken, too, not only did you and I participate or vote for legislation that made us a right-to-work state, but we also helped pass a constitutional amendment, which the people of the state then voted to ratify, and it is now embedded in our Constitution that you cannot be mandated to join a union.
Correct.
In other words, unions have to work extra hard to get unionized around here, but like you said, they're not barred from existing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not allowed to force people to join.
Right, right. We don't want to trade wages for jobs in Alabama.
No. Yeah,
a huge reason why these companies are coming here is because unions are not a big deal here. Our cost of living is much lower than other states, and their wages are really, really good wages.
Oh, we have very competitive wages.
Extremely.
And cost of living versus wages in Alabama is better than anywhere else.
Anywhere.
Look at Detroit. My God. Well, brother, I appreciate you. We're going to do this more often, all right? I mean,
sounds
now
good.
That you're out of the legislature, you can speak freely. I got your phone number. I know where you are. All right, we're with Clay Schofield from the Business Council of Alabama, former state senator. And coming up next, we'll jump on the next dipper called Hit the Gas. I got a guy calling in named Scott Salters from the American Petroleum Gas Association. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.